Now, pretty much everyone, would hazard to guess, we're all on social media, aren't we? It's good. It can be good. It can be a fantastic tool for the freedom of expression, but it does, unfortunately, also provide a platform for, I don't know if there are young, for our kids at high school and stuff, cyberbullying. There's hate speech. We've all seen it probably on Twitter a lot. And there's also misogyny. Now, a new study from UNSW has found that areas with a greater amount of misogynistic tweets coming out of them do have higher incidences of domestic and family violence. Here to discuss their findings is Professor Tom Denson, from UNSW. Tom, how's it going?
Oh, good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. So I guess, first of all, maybe can we elaborate, give some context? What do we look at as a misogynistic tweet or a misogynistic joke? Is it as simple as, oh, women make me a sandwich or whatever it is? You know, those kinds of things that you hear maybe at the pub or this, that, the other, like, do you know what I mean? Deadpan, not funny at all stuff. Or is it more aggressive?
It's both. So the tweets we found ran the whole gambit from sort of less awful to super awful.
Right, I see. So how do you factor what might be, or at least intended to be, comedy or maybe in jest or sarcastic, maybe coming from a victim themselves and flipping it on its head at a later point or this? Are they elements there, or are we just going to blanket it and say this is all misogyny, it's reflective of XYZ as a result?
Well, it depends on how you define misogyny. So a lot of people would think, you know, a joke that has, you know, women in general as the butt of the joke would be considered misogyny.
Yep.
We weren't able to tell what the actual person intended when they wrote it because, you know, it was Twitter.
Yep.
So we weren't able to actually separate them into, like, joking context or not. But the idea is that they all have the same effect, irregardless of whether it was meant as a joke or not.
I see. And now your study showed it that areas with greater amounts of these types of tweets had higher amounts of family and domestic violence. So I don't know, can you extrapolate that it's demographic types given the areas, or was there a bit of a mix maybe that you see in financial levels or this, that, and the like, any other kind of demographic makeup aspects? And to a larger point, why do we think that this is the case, that those that are tweeting, we see them coming out of areas, and then there's a correlation to that of domestic and family violence?
Yeah, so, and as to the first question, we actually controlled for a host of demographic variables, things like income, yep, also inequality, gender inequality, age, and so on. And nothing really came out except one, which wasn't a demographic variable, but it was the amount of alcohol outlets that sell alcohol in the area was a strong predictor. In fact, that was stronger than the tweeting predictor, but that's,
right,
that's nothing new. We know that alcohol can cause domestic and family violence. But in terms of what's happening is... what we think is happening is these tweets create these norms about how we should talk about women, how we should treat women, and these hostile attitudes can translate eventually, if you reach sort of a critical mass, I would imagine, into, you know, actual behavior. So if we know that attitudes predict behavior, and if you're consistently exposed to misogynistic attitudes towards women and you internalize those attitudes, then it's not too hard then to make the transition from, you know, hateful attitude into hateful behavior.
Sure thing. Is it, I guess, just reflective of, well, I suppose this study was done in an American context, correct?
Yeah. We used America instead of Australia because America just has a massive data set, the FBI. These,
yeah,
are all arrests that were reported to the FBI.
Right.
So if anything, there's an underestimation of the effect because these types of crimes are very underreported.
So what about outside of family and domestic violence and stuff of that nature? Do we see correlations between the types of tweets and then other incidents of violence, whether they be violent crime or maybe even as recently the protests at the Capitol and stuff late last year? Can you find correlation there? I would hazard to guess most, yeah, of the people that probably at the Capitol were more than willing to tweet about it. But,
yeah.
But do we see similar parallels?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I don't think anyone's looked at the Capitol building yet. They will, no doubt. But in terms of other research that has found correlations between social media and crime. So there was a study showing that tweets during the Baltimore protests, the Black Lives Matter protests, that predicted a number of arrests and violence in there. There was an anti-Islam rally in the UK. And again, Twitter predicted, amount of violence there. So there's been a few of these things. There was another one with rape as well. So,
right.
Again, sort of misogynistic tweets predicted rape as well.
Is there the hope then that this kind of data, this kind of information might lead to mitigation tactics?
Yeah, that's the idea. So if you can identify from, you know, social media, which is this generally sort of available data, and if you can write an algorithm, you can identify sort of where the crime is happening or where it's likely to happen. And if you know that, then you can go in, and police have been trying to do this stuff for quite a while. They do it you know, fairly well, doing predictive policing, they call it. But then you could find out, instead of not just, you know, allocating police resources, but you could allocate, you know, help for domestic violence survivors, you know, more beds in cell shelters, that sort of thing. And also, you know, public health announcements, like posters saying, you know, violence towards women is wrong, that sort of thing. And then you're counteracting those misogynistic attitudes with something a little bit more positive.
Yeah, of course. And is there the hope that this would be, I don't know, is it within reason to think this would be applicable in Australia, especially considering we have a fairly prevalent domestic violence kind of issue here in the country? So could it be adopted in Australia, this kind of predictive policing and such?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Yeah, you could definitely use the same. We wanted to test it out in the States because we had this larger data set. It was a better test of the hypothesis. But I think you could also use the same sort of approach here in Australia.
Sure thing. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Tom. I do appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks so much.
Cheers, bye-bye. That was Professor Tom Denson discussing his findings on the correlation between areas with high levels of misogynistic tweets and then domestic and family violence. It was in the States, but I'm sure you can extrapolate from that that it might be applicable in Australia as well. If you or a loved one is at risk of violence, please contact the 24-hour national helpline on 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732.